continue to coach. If he's let go, there'll be a lot of suitors knocking on his door for that as well.
Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't. And it's a touchdown, Texans.
Boy, ain't that the perfect clip. Troy Aikman talking about, oh, Tom, it'll get a job. Bang, pick six from Aaron Rodgers. Will Rodgers be back? Will Tomlin be back? Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us now to discuss with the Hawk Report. The Hawk Report. Brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Shape your future with Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. None of us got any sleep last night. I'm guessing Jeff got less sleep than anybody else. Jeff, your reaction to the game before we get more into the broad strokes of what the hell's going to happen with this once proud franchise?
I mean, in an odd way, defensively, even with some of the mistakes, it's 7-6
yep.
in the fourth quarter. And I realize, you know, that Houston was on the doorstep at, you know, to get a field goal, but still, it's 10-6 in the fourth quarter. Like, they put themselves in a position to win the game, but offensively, they did. We talked about this Thursday. What could the Steelers not do? They had to win first and second down, or at least be representative in first and second down, and avoid the third and longs. Look at all the third down misses, third and 10, third and 11, third and 12, third and 21. I think the shortest was like third and 6. I mean, there's no excuse for not completing a third down in the first half, but they didn't put themselves in a position to do it against one of the best pass rushing teams in the league and one of the best pass rushing teams in the league that doesn't have to blitz. So when it's third and long, they can rush you with four.
Yep.
They don't have to take a chance. And that's where the Steelers really lost this game was offensively and not winning first and second down. And listen, they tried some things. They went some no huddle, which was, hey, all right, I like this. But, yeah, they just didn't execute well enough. And obviously, I mean, how many missed opportunities did this team have?
Oh, so many. Too many to count, but we'll try anyhow, Jeff. I thought the Metcalf drop changed the entire tone and tenor of the game, which we'll get to in a minute. But I went back and counted. I didn't double check. I'm not Santa Claus here, but first down runs for the Steelers, there were 10 of them. And I understand it in principle early because you're trying to set up for attainable down and distance and you don't want your quarterback to get crushed and you figure it's going to be a war of attrition and eventually the dam's going to break. And that's the way it's looked for the Steelers in the second half of games when they've won four out of their last five. But at a certain point, you just got to give up on it, man. 2.6 yards, I think, per carry on first down runs. Like, I thought they became a little too predictable there too, Jeff. I think the OC had something to do with it.
Yeah, and I know people say, well, they got to run the ball more. No, they couldn't run it.
No.
I mean, Houston's a good defense. They weren't able to run the ball. And I think that their final tally, I think, was 63 yards. 22 of those yards came in the final drive, which wasn't a drive, which was a final running out of the clock. So they had 41 yards before that last, you know, the pity yards
yeah.
at the end. So, I mean, it's just – they were blown off the line of scrimmage. And credit to Houston. And
sure.
Let me say that. Because that is a reality. Sometimes that's thrown out there and, you know, it's just, well, I don't really want to answer this, so I'm going to credit the opponent. Houston was really good. The thing is, even though Houston was really good, they still had a good chance to win the game.
Well, C.J. Stroud was atrocious in the first half, Jeff. I mean, they gave the Steelers every opportunity there. And the defense... You know, the rush defense was putrid against a running back that, frankly, isn't very good, who averaged 3.6 yards per carry in the regular season. But I think the Metcalf drop changed absolutely everything. Playoffs in any sport are about momentum, and the Steelers have got behind the eight ball in all of these games. They had a chance to be the aggressor. If he catches that ball, I got to look at the All-22, Jeff, but... He might score, and if not, at the very least, you're getting three. You might, though, because you got the snowball rolling downhill. You might get 10, and that changes everything. Or am I overstating it?
No, I mean, you get the turnover, you get the ball. It's like, let's go. Let's make something of this. You throw the, it's the perfect play call. So you can't rip Arthur for it. Makes the right play call. Aaron makes the right decision. Aaron makes a good throw. And the guy who screwed up by putting you in that position, you could argue, by not being there in Cleveland, where you could have won the game and rested guys last week. And I don't know if it's a different story. Probably not. But still, like, dude, you're the number one receiver. You got to make that catch.
Yes.
I get it. You're human. I don't want to dwell too much on what happened in Detroit. But, man, you're getting paid a hell of a lot of money. You got to catch those balls.
And he's been a really good playoff performer in his career. He's averaging 113 yards per game. He had 5 touchdowns in 4 career playoff games. And he had a chance to atone and make up for being absent those final 2 games. And, boy, he did not. Jeff joining us on the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, Jeff, you were there for the press conferences yesterday. Very good pregame show, too. We happened to catch you at the casino. Did you get the vibe?
Not quite as good as your pregame.
Oh, I was having a good time. Yes. I knew when to turn it off. Did you get the sense listening to Rodgers?
You're talking about yourself, not the radio, right?
Yeah, of course. I would never turn you off, Jeff. Did you get the sense like I did that Rodgers was kind of talking about how good the Steelers' future could be in a way where he wasn't part of it? Because that's how it sounded when I listened to his comments.
I would say that he left the door open.
Okay.
I don't think he slammed it of like, as he was talking through, there was a part of me that thought as he's talking through the answer to that question, is he starting to come to realization like, man, maybe there isn't that here. But I really think he was trying to give an honest answer, and he went kind of position by position, which was impressive, and kind of knew some of the free agency news before, you know, right at the end of the game. So he had given it some thought. I do think the door is still open from his standpoint. I think the door is still open from the Steelers' standpoint. And I think a big reason for that is when you look at this draft, I don't know that there's a quarterback that you can look at and say, boy, I want some of that when the Steelers draft or somewhere around where the Steelers draft. And you know what? We'll have this debate, but time has proven that the Steelers will believe that they can win a Super Bowl. So the thought of going with Will Howard or somebody else is not going to be in their plans. They're either going to try for Malik, they're going to try to get Aaron, or they're going to go for somebody else because they're going to tell you that they're Super Bowl ready with the right quarterback. And Aaron's been a really good quarterback. Sadly, another thing I thought was going to be true, and I was saying during the show yesterday, I thought the Steelers had the better quarterback. And even though Stroud made mistakes, he ended up making the more impact throws than Aaron did.
He did. Jeff Hathorn joining us here on the Fan Morning Show with our Hawk Report. The Fan Morning Show is always brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. The Steelers are going to think they can win the Super Bowl next year, like you said. I think that probably answers the question before it's asked. Mike Tomlin's here unless he doesn't want to be here, correct? And do you think that he's even going to contemplate going to television, taking a year off, a sabbatical, something like that?
I mean, listen, this is the first time where I think it's really gotten, I think, personal for him. I mean, we saw his son involved. His wife put out a message on social media. Like, I'm wondering if there's just if he'll have any thought over the next week or so of like, or he gets influenced enough by somebody, whether it's like Glazer, like, hey, man, come join me. This will be cool. We can hang out for a year and then you can have whatever job you want. I still don't believe that, but I mean, if you're Mike, don't you have to have that discussion with your family or within the mirror and say, man, they're going to yell for me to be fired until I win something. Like, we're going to be sitting there in week 2. And if we're 0-1 and trailing in the second half, they're going to be chanting for me to be fired. Like, is my time just done here? And I think that's a question he should ask. I don't know that's the answer necessarily. But I think that's a question you ask. And then you go, okay, if you do bring in a new coach, then I think Aaron's out of the picture. And then you look at it a lot differently.
Yeah, I think the only way that they would have a reset from their, hey, Super Bowl or bust mentality every offseason is if Tomlin stepped right. away, you get a new coach, and then you sort of lean into, I'm sure they wouldn't call it a rebuild, but that kind of thing. Given that we both think that it's probably more likely Tomlin comes back, I would imagine it's the end of Terrell Austin. As I understand it, his contract's up. I mean, do you think that will be the case at the very least?
Probably, although, I mean, until they just ran out of gas, I mean, the defense had given up 10 points. I mean, then there was a defensive touchdown and then another defensive touchdown. I mean, I know they gave up rushing yards, but I think they started giving them up when they were just exhausted. So I mean, he's an easy one to point to. And I think that's a possibility. I wouldn't say it's 100%, because remember last year, how many people thought, oh, it's 100%, he'll be gone after they gave up 299 yards rushing and
good point.
Terrell was back.
Yeah, they've given up 650-plus rushing yards combined the last three playoff defeats. You know what? No, that's not fair to them. 642. Jeff, great stuff as always. A bunch of really good stuff on 93.7thefan.com. We'll look forward to more, and we will talk to you, my friend, on Thursday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. See you, Adam.
See you, buddy. Get some sleep. That is the great Jeff Hathorn. Again, check out a whole bunch of coverage on 93.7thefan.com, and all the post-game audio is because Jeff was in there working tirelessly, talking to a lot of pissed off people yesterday after the game. How pissed off is Pat Bostic? We'll find out next. He's joining us. The Steelers, according to Jeff, going to leave the door open for Rodgers to come back. We'll continue to fire Tomlin on the phone lines, but should the Steelers bring Aaron Rodgers back if he wants to come back? We'll get to that next. You could text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And what did Rodgers have to say about it?
Continue to coach. If he's let go, there'll be a lot of suitors knocking on his door for that as well.
Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way trying to make the tackle. Can't. And it's a touchdown, Texans.
No, I mean, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions. Disappointed, you know, obviously, such a fun year. You know, a lot of adversity, but a lot of fun. Been a great year, you know, overall in my life in the last year. And this is, you know, a really good part of that, coming here and being a part of this team. So it's disappointing to be sitting here with the season over.
Aaron Rodgers says he's not going to make an emotional decision, but in his post-game press conference, there was a lot of you when talking about the future. Not a lot of we. When he was talking about the Steelers moving forward, it did not sound to me, as a psychologist, Pat Bostic, who's going to join us for the rest of the show, that he was placing himself back in Pittsburgh. And we'll take calls all morning long, I promise. It's a perfect place to do it right here at on 93.7 The Fan at 412-928-9370. So if you want to keep talking fire, Tomlin, of course, we will oblige you and we will take those calls. But Pat, I don't put last night's game on Rodgers. I think he's very low down the list. And I said it before the game yesterday that regardless of how the game went, if he wants to come back, I would bring him back if nothing else but to be a mentor, since there's not a lot of great options out there. Do you agree on the assessment of the game? And do you think that Rodgers should come back? Would you bring him back? And good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. I think, yeah, I thought that he was a component of the offensive performance for sure, but not near the top of the list. Probably third on the list of, like, needed to be better.
Yeah.
When you're pressure, you're hit 12 times, sacked 4 times,
yowza,
had 4 passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I'm not a real bright guy, but that's 20 pass attempts that end with you either getting hit or the ball falling to the ground at your feet. And that's not to mention him. He completed a ball to Gainwell, got killed. I mean, he got hit a lot.
I thought he was a warrior last night.
He was a warrior, and he kept going out there. And he doesn't have the escapability he once had. And that would be my only pause about there's two sides to the story, right? It takes two to tango. If the Steelers are honest with themselves, they know they need to address the offensive line in the draft. From right tackle the whole way to left tackle, they were manhandled last night.
Manhandled
last night. I mean, if it wasn't McCormick getting pushed into the quarterback, it was Sam Malu getting beat. Cook and certainly Faltano had a really tough day at the office. That's the best front four in football.
Yes.
Really, really good. Not paid as well as the Steelers front four. But,
oh, we'll get into that, my friend.
And they had far more to do with the outcome of the game than the Steelers did, certainly. But if you're being honest with yourself with the Steelers, you have to wonder, do we need somebody more mobile to be able to make plays in these type of games? And they went that way with Justin Fields. Malik Willis makes a lot of sense. If Trinidad Chambliss isn't granted a 6-year of eligibility and he falls,
which it doesn't sound like he will be.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of back and forth there. That's a guy that would intrigue me in the draft, watching him play towards the tail end of the season. He's got a lot of upside and hasn't taken a whole lot of a beating in his college career, playing Division II for as long as he did on a juggernaut. He could fall to 21, but I don't know if he will. If he's in the draft, his stock is up. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, do you want to come back and play behind that line?
If I'm Rodgers, I retire.
I mean, you have to walk away with that game from that game, and I respect how he did it. I think he tried to avoid the fanfare at the end of it and avoid the conversation. But do I want to come back and get beaten down like that against good teams? Because by and large, I mean, they had some good performances this year, but two of their last three games, they didn't score an offensive touchdown. And he was under duress pretty much the entire game.
They got outscored by Houston, Pat, by Houston's defense.
Yeah, and you know, the sack fumble he gets should have been a flag, got hit up top, but it is what it is. I mean, that happened all night. So if you can't make a play for Willis, or you don't feel like you're going to get Chambliss or somebody with upside and mobility, yeah, I mean, I think he did a lot of good for this organization this year. I don't think they make the playoffs without him.
No.
I know people painting with broad strokes want to say it was the same outcome, which it was. But I would say this, given where they were, you know, this wasn't 2 years ago when they started hot. This was a 6-6 team that was staring down the barrel of worse than that. And he was a huge reason why they made a run at the playoff and had one of their most memorable home wins in the last decade. So I'm grateful for that as a fan. I would open the door to him returning, but I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't consider other options as well.
Yeah, I would consider everything, and I would imagine if Rodgers makes the decision to come back, he's not going to make that for a while. The reason why, regardless of the outcome, I was always going to be on board with him coming back is because as much as you could say, hey, maybe the organization needs a reset, a tank, a new head coach, they're not going to do the new head coach thing unless he decides to step away. They're not going to do the tank thing, and it's not even a season. Like you could tank, and then there's some good quarterbacks coming out, great. But I'd bring Rodgers back for next year because there's nobody that excites me. And if there were, it would be a guy that's a mid to late round first round quarterback or a beyond first round quarterback, someone that could benefit from sitting behind a leader like Aaron Rodgers. So I'm all for him coming back. I am. If I'm Rodgers, I don't want to come back. And I would imagine that the only organization that would want to sign up to dance with Rodgers next year would be the Steelers. Like, I don't think anybody else is giving him a contract.
Yeah,
because we know the value, and they know the value that he brings here, like within the locker room, and that would go a long way for mentoring a young guy. I don't know that the tape in two of these last three games is going to excite a team enough to be like, you know what, let's bring Rodgers in.
No, I think he more likely, if he's not a Steeler, he more likely is in a Phillip Rivers type situation where there's a team that may need a plug at some point and he's on the sideline. I don't think he would do that. At this point, I would handicap it. I think it's more likely he's in the at atrium at Lambeau Field retiring a Packer here in the next call it whatever. Yeah. And then they retire his jersey next season at some point, and it's off into the sunset. I do think, you know, and we're waxing a little bit poetic here. I mean, the game was bad. He was a part of it. He was certainly a part of it. You know, I think this year, more than the play, did a number for his credibility and his reputation.
Sure.
Because, I was one that was skeptical. I think many were, millions of people were, and thought this guy was an enigma. He proved to not be that. And, you don't want to go out throwing a pick six, but his last pass as a Packer was a pick, too. So, ironic. Seldom do you leave, you know, with a trophy in your hand, and you know only one team will do that this year. Obviously, it's not Pittsburgh, and you know I think it's more likely than not at this point. I would welcome him back if the situation is correct, but more likely than not, he's done.
I would agree with that, and I do think that there was image rehabilitation that went well for him this year, and he said he, apart from the wrist, felt good at the end of the season. And he was thankful for that. He said he had fun this year. He did get the Steelers to the playoffs. I think that's a pretty good way to go out, you know, pick six notwithstanding. Bunch of phone callers want to talk Rodgers and Tomlin, and that's what we're here for today. We're all going to vent together. It's cathartic, including Angela in Beachview, who is the queen of the Fan Morning Show. We'll take your calls coming up next. What did the Steelers defensive captain have to say about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he'll return? We'll let you hear from him when we come back. As well, it is 7:33. Time to check out Nine Yards Golf Lounge, now open at the Block Northway in Ross Township.
I don't know what's playing. I think every guy showed you they should be a part of this team in the future. But, you know, I'm not going to play GM right now. If 8 wants to come back, he's right to come back. We'd love to see. I'd like to see him come back, but I'm not going to make that decision. That's not fair to the Steelers. Not fair to 8. Have a lot of respect for the organization and Aaron. That dude's earned my respect for what he's, been through this year. And he's a hell of a teammate. I'm just very thankful I got to play with that quarterback.
So that's Cam Hayward saying that Aaron Rodgers was a hell of a teammate, and you won't find a guy in the Steelers locker room who wouldn't back up what Cam Hayward just said. And I didn't know if that was the case coming in. I mean, Doran brought it up a lot that he never really heard teammates be the ones who talked negatively about Aaron Rodgers. There was last season, of course, with Garrett Wilson. Those guys never saw eye to eye, but other than that, really few and far between. Cam says Aaron has earned the right to decide whether or not he comes back. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. Pat Bostick in with us until the end of the show. We've got Trey Essex at 8 o'clock, but right now we talk to Angela in Beachview, the queen of the Fan Morning Show. How are you doing today, Angela? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. And deep down inside, you kind of knew that this was going to happen. I mean, you can talk X's and O's all you want. What Houston was... 10 for 15, more than that on third down.
Yeah, they were 10 for 15, Angela, and the Steelers were 2 for 14. You think you're going to win that way? I don't.
Well, yeah, that's the game. That's the game right there. And it took all season, multiple seasons for Tomlin and Austin to not figure out how to keep that donut hole closed and have people pick us apart right over the middle all season long, year after year. But we didn't show up. I mean, when you get a turnover, you got to curb stomp people. You know, what was that one? Who, I forget which turnover it was, and Gainwell ran for a -3 loss. Who calls? You got to go after people. We didn't have the stones or the heart. I mean, we blew our wad last week.
Angela, I love it.
Thank you for the call.
I mean, it's kind of true, right? I mean,
where's Mulsey with the blue chew? You got to get back on that horse. You can't be one and done.
I don't know. I really don't know what to say.
Do you agree with me that Arthur Smith was far too predictable last night? I mean, it was 10 first down runs. And I understand that as a plan coming in. Like, I really do. But at a certain point, you got to go all Ross Geller. Pivot!
Yeah, well, when you're getting hit or sacked on every other pass attempt, I think he's done a great job all year, really.
Arthur?
I said that on Friday. Cleveland game, I think they were just generally too worried about Garrett. It's a understandable concern, but they made it about that was the entire game.
Yeah.
And then this one, when you know you're, it's a hard thing to do because you're trying to convince a group of men that they're equal to the task and you want to play aggressive. But in the back of your mind, you know that you are a play call away from second and 15 if you throw the ball on first down, because if one of those guys gets beat or there's internal pressure, or heck, if it's second and 10, you're behind the eight ball against that defense and they're able to get consistent pressure on you rushing four when you're protecting with six. That's a really difficult place to call plays from.
Yeah.
Unless you have a mobile quarterback that can equalize things. I don't know if they moved the pocket enough. I thought they abandoned the run a little bit in the second quarter, maybe a little bit into the third quarter, and lost some of the play action, and that's where the big plays were there. And then the drop by DK was just a arrow out of the balloon moment. But it's easy to become predictable when you can't win up front.
Yeah, if you can't do anything,
if you can't win
then
up
whatever
front,
you do looks bad.
If you can't even hold your ground up front, it's hard to call plays, and you have to have special players on the outside or a special talent at quarterback to overcome that.
Well, it's obvious that DK Metcalf's not a number one wide receiver, and they didn't get a number two wide receiver. Although they have a number two, so then they didn't get a number one, and that's why. Hey, look, I think they need to fire Tomlin. I know they won't. I think Tomlin should want to move on. I don't think he will, but Omar Khan deserves some of the flack here. I think he's hit on a lot of draft picks these last few years, but a problem going into last season was a lack of a number two wide receiver, and one of the things that hurt them in this game is a lack of another viable option. You're right, though. Nothing is more important than blocking up front, but both things can be true at once, and I think they are.
Well, it makes the job harder if you got guys that can't separate.
Right.
If you have a team that can get a four-man pass rush against a five- to six-man, or at least a version of a six-man protection, and you're kind of in no man's land, right? Because they're able to drop seven in coverage and play a two high shell or do whatever they want back there and still get to you. So you need to release five into the route to try to get guys open to at least give them an outlet valve if the down the field options aren't there.
Yeah, and they were an empty a ton last night.
And then
night.
If you can't separate, then you got another problem.
Yeah.
And when you're just latched up all across the board and DK's got two guys on him. You know, you saw Rodgers kind of clutching back there a lot because at one thing, who's going to fall down and break my leg in front of me or rip my head off from the outside? And then it's like someone gets open. And then we saw multiple occasions where there were route issues, you know, with Calvin Austin, you know, the drop by DK. I mean, there was just but the issue started up front, and that was a concern. It's been a problem for them for the last however many years that they in games that matter, they don't win games up. They won't win the game up front. They lost it on offense, and I'll say this, and this may segue into another topic. They lost it on defense up front because the terms of that game were dictated by Houston up front. They crammed the ball up Pittsburgh's you know what in that first half,
Pat,
and it was demoralizing because you're just sitting on the bench as an offense, and they're lucky that game. I know that you're only down 1 point. That game should have been 21-6 at half. It wasn't because of some freak plays.
You had a 2-0 turnover differential and were down a point.
Yeah.
That told the story. Time of possession, 32-22 in favor of the Texans, and they ran the ball for 86 yards in the first half. Part of that's not converting on the offense, but sitting from our perspective in 525, and I'm sure it was clear on TV, and you know what you're looking at more than I do, Pat Bostic with us here, the holes they were opening in the middle of the defense, right up the middle, absolutely pathetic. There's much to touch on here. And we will continue to break this all down, the game and then the Steelers at large at 412-928-9370. We've promised calls all morning long, and we will take them, with the exception of when we talk to Trey Essex, who joins the show coming up at 8 o'clock. There's something that didn't happen last night for the first time in I don't even know how long, and we'll tell you about that when Tweet Us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Steelers did not regale us, did not treat us. 68,000 people swinging our terrible towels at Acrisure Stadium yesterday with Renegade. No Renegade, Bostic.
I mean, I don't blame him for not playing it at that point, right? You got to have a feel.
Oh no!
It's not sponsored content.
It's not the stadium people's fault. It's not Larry Richard's fault. Love you, Larry.
No, it's the ball club.
It's the ball club.
The ball club did not pull their own weight.
We're gonna get into this a little bit later on in the show, and I love Michael DeCourcy. He does stuff for KDKA around here. He covers college basketball in the Big Ten. He's a columnist. He's a good dude. And he's always been a massive Mike Tomlin defender. He tweeted out last night.
I saw it.
All I will say is, if you watch that game and that season and think the head coach is a problem, well, what can one say to that? It's bewildering. One could come to that conclusion. They haven't won a playoff game since January 15th, 2017. It doesn't even matter if Mike is right. Like, if Mike is right and Tomlin did a great job this regular season and Tomlin wasn't to blame last night, that doesn't even matter. They're going at least now 10 years, Pat, without a playoff victory. How is that not on the head coach?
Well, yeah, I won't pull punches with this one. I mean, Mike Tomlin's not your every head coach. He has as much, if not more, power than any head coach of the National Football League when it comes to decisions made about the organization, about draft development, free agent acquisitions, trades. That may have changed a little bit with Omar Khan, but I don't pretend to know the inner workings of it, but ultimately, A, the buck always stops with the head coach. Everything is his responsibility. That's why you're highly compensated.
Yes.
As Mike Tomlin would say. Secondly, when you're a head coach and you have decision-making power over personnel, whether it's stated or unstated, whether it's published or not published, when you know that everything is crossing his desk. And I think we feel that that's the case. Every component of the result is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And when you're a defensive head coach, and consistently throughout the year, you've been feast or famine. When you get to the quarterback, create turnovers, you're in games, you win games. But you consistently can't stop the run against a pedestrian rushing offense in Houston. And there are consistently guys wide open down the field. It comes down to, okay, A, what scheme are we deploying? Is it being called properly? B, do we have the right personnel in position to make plays? That secondary has been pieced together. I mean, I don't know how many new players they have back there, but more new than old. And their guys cut loose all the time.
Pat.
All the time. Run fits were horrid last night. It's one thing to get pushed back. It's another thing to have gaps completely unoccupied.
And the thing is?
Against Houston.
Well, I thought when the Steelers played Chicago, you saw the juxtaposition of Ben Johnson in modern football with Mike Tomlin. We want to protect the ball. Turnover's the most important thing. Ben Johnson, who they could have had, by the way, if they had traded Tomlin to the Bears last offseason. Ben Johnson's all about EPA. It's all about attacking down the field, explosive plays. And you had that juxtaposition, and it was staggering to see. And that was the low point until the Buffalo game, right? And because they were back-to-back, that felt like the world was crashing down. Last night, you watch Houston pin their ears back and get after the quarterback rushing four because they can play press man coverage and they can take your guys out of the game. And they did that all season long. They are who you want to be.
Yep.
And not only that, they are who you thought you were going to be when you signed Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, and you have Joey Porter Jr. And they thought that Slay could be locked down, man. They thought that Ramsey was a lockdown corner. He winds up playing safety. They cut one, Thornhill. And Darius Slay, who is right now on what team? I mean, he's technically a Bill, but he was at the Eagles game. He's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. They thought they could play lockdown press man coverage and get after the quarterback. And they had to pivot midseason because their player evaluations were so bad. That's on the head coach, too. But we've gone too long on this for now.
We got Trey Essex coming up next.
Yes, we will come back to all of this, plus your phone calls, I promise, after we talk to two-time Super Bowl champion and Snap Count Show with Charlie Batch podcast host, Trey Essex. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hey, it's going to be balmy today, 46 degrees. Let's all celebrate in the streets.